Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From our Holy Gospel today, this familiar language. And Jesus said to Simon and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." That's the text. In the name of the Lord Jesus, who came to embrace us each and all, and to know us and love us precisely as we are. You have before seen some of the results of this particular instrument as I shared with you one of the fish that is mounted on the wall at my house, but I decided to bring a fishing rod along this morning to make clear to you and remind you just precisely what it is you and I are summoned to do. Because it is not an experience that is reserved just for those of us who wear our shirts backwards. Instead, it has to do with the discipleship of what it means to be one of God's very own. A number of you, I suspect, are rather familiar with an instrument like this. Some of you may do something far simpler with a cane pole, others far more elaborate with more expensive tackle. But above all, you know that when you and I go fishing with a rod and reel like this, we do not just sit in the car and wait for the fish to jump into the bucket that's sitting beside the lake, or on the river, or wherever it is you're seeking to pursue them. Instead, we have to get down into the messy and the mucky and the wet, because that's really what it's all about. It means that grand adventure of setting out and seeing just exactly what's going to take place, whether or not the fish are biting. I suppose that's why among those of us who fish, we get a fishing license. Not a catching license, because the pursuit is precisely it. This is a remarkable instrument because with it I can get way out into the water in a way that when I was a little kid I never could with just a cane pole. That would only swing out a few feet into the water. But there's something missing, is there not? Is there not? I see a reel, I see a rod. Here's what's missing. Tackle box. When you open the tackle box and pull this out, you find inside most any of us who fish are going to have a whole elaborate stash of things inside here that we may pick and choose, and we often, when we're fishing in a place we've never fished, we'll go and say, what do they bite on here, and what are they biting on now? Well, there was a fellow who caught one last week, and he was using this. Really? Guaranteed to catch fish. I'll take one. In fact, you better give me two of them. I'm going to probably lose one of those. That's the way fishermen are, you know, because it's the pursuit and the catch. They don't just jump into the boat without bait of some kind, whether it's artificial or real. Because what persons are trying to do when they pursue the adventure of catching a fish is somehow tickle their fancy and convince them that that bait that's there in front of them is going to be good to eat or is enough of a danger to them that they ought to attack it and try to do away with it. And then they're hooked. Because the fish have to be met on their own terms. They have to be met where they are and on their own terms. That's exactly what God did when he took flesh and became one of us. He had to meet us where we are and on our own terms. And he has. And he still does. Unfortunately, what we've fallen into over the last 2,000 plus years is to take all of this very familiar language of what this is about and we've turned it into such foreign language and such isolated language and such protected language that somehow it doesn't get home. The reality of Christ coming into this world and understanding precisely what it means to be you. And to confront us with the reality that our deepest needs and anxieties and hurts and concerns and prides and fears and longings are met by the love of God that is poured out for us in Christ Jesus our Savior. That's what we long for. That's really what all those big church words mean. Words like grace and salvation and sin and death and iniquity. But they have to be translated into our everyday and to understand that it's our God reaching through all of that. He encapsulates it all in language that somehow we disassociate from our everyday, so that we come into a place like this, shielded and sheltered, and we learn this kind of in-house language, and then we long for getting out of the safety here to the safety of heaven, as if somehow this doesn't have to do with Monday and Tuesday and all the way through Saturday. I've had enough conversations with the members of St. Paul this week for my heart to be breaking, because I've heard their cries. The cry of a person who's facing end of life issues. And to have her pastor say to her, your God is with you, he loves you. And the fear that comes out of a human heart in that isolation, uncertain of whether they know God loves them. I have heard the cry of pain on a parking lot, of somebody saying, I'm trying to hold on to the love of God and the will of God, to know, I'm trying to prove to him that I trust him, but I'm having such a hard time convincing myself that he's even there. I get it. To listen to the cry and hurt of aloneness, despair, pride, struggle with temptation. I had a conversation yesterday with a friend of mine, not a Lutheran Christian, I think the person's a Christian maybe, talked about growing up in a particular background. They were talking about having gone to Christmas services at the church that they attend. And my friend shared with me, they said, I've never been able to understand this Jesus Christ thing, until one thing was said by the pastor in our Christmas Eve service, that God became flesh in order to make us know, to help us know that he understands and he cares. And it hit me like a bolt of lightning that that's what Jesus was all about. And I smiled and said, yes, that's the core of Christianity. It's not just looking right, sounding right, thinking we're right, because we aren't. We're just people. We're people who are proud and frightened and alone and rebellious. People who think we have a better idea. People who try to prove to God, to everybody else, and even to ourselves, that we've got it together, and you know, and so does the person in the mirror, that you don't. And the great joy of being Christian is that that's okay. The best thing you're ever going to be is a human being. And God loves you. And he has swept aside all of the distances and embraced you. In and through Jesus. Jesus came to the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He did not wait for Simon and Andrew and James and John to find him in a synagogue. He came looking for them, and he found them right where they live, right in the middle of their everyday with their concerns and frustrations and hopes and dreams and callings, and he said, follow me. Jesus comes to you exactly where you are this morning again and again. This is not just a one-time thing. It is because you and I are constantly turning back to what we think we are, know, have, got settled, everything else, or our own pretensions and pretenses. And Jesus finds you right where you're at and says, follow me. But he does not just leave us following. He transforms us. When Jesus becomes for each of us the particular answer that each of us long for because of what we are facing, overwhelming bills and an empty checkbook, grieving the death of a loved one, friends who have departed, frustrations in being overwhelmed in a modern technological world, our own struggles with stuff we know we shouldn't be doing, or thinking, or feeling, trying to convince ourselves we don't. It is only when Jesus meets us at that deepest need and we transform that one little word, sin, into the recognition that you and I are distanced from God and our hearts don't normally think and feel like God wants us to and we don't trust. And God sweeps through all of that darkness, fear, guilt, and pride and loves us and claims us and says, I know, follow me. I understand it because I'm flesh like you, Jesus said, and I've faced it, and I've beaten it, and I've overcome it all. Follow me. But he does not just leave us there. Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. That's what happens when the people of God are transformed. Because when their deepest emptinesses are answered by Jesus and they listen to their friends who share the same thing, it does not become a matter of lecturing them or dismissing them because they don't have it. Instead, hearts that have been touched and healed and claimed and refreshed again every day understand with absolute compassion. And when our friends in trust begin to open up to us about their being overwhelmed by debt or guilt or being trapped or their temptations or their fears or their hopes or their prides, then you and I can say to them, I understand. Here's what Christ has done for me. Let me tell you about him. Because he can and will do the same for you. And just like in our lives, we're going to get met by resistance and dismissal, not wanting your religion crammed down my throat. We don't do that. It's not what it's about. You and I become witnesses only of what we ourselves have experienced. You and I become witnesses of only what you and I have experienced. And why do you think the Lord has brought you through all of the particular pieces of your living except to be a transformed healer and witness and fisher of men in his hands for the sake of the people of this world? This is not about making St. Paul Lutheran Congregation this wonderful place. This is not about the restoration of the Lutheran Church, Missouri City. Has it ever occurred to you that the Lord does not need the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod to get the message of the gospel out. Has it ever occurred to you that God does not need St. Paul Lutheran Church to get the message of the gospel out? He gives us the opportunity. If we neglect it, the Lord will use the Baptists. He'll use the Methodists. He'll use the Roman Catholics. You and I, in the hands of a God who loves us, become people who reach out. Whenever I have occasion to speak about this, here's a closing story. I never forget the story of Fred. I was sitting in my office one day in Omaha, and I got this telephone call. And this guy's voice said, "You better send somebody over here from the church. They tell me I'm dying." "Well, who is this?" "Well, my name's Fred." Well, I went to see him. Fred had never belonged to a church. He'd never been baptized. All he knew was the doctor told him he was dying. Fred was blind almost entirely from childhood diabetes. Fred had been a drug pusher and had been in prison. He was living with the woman he was living with. They had two children. And he was terrified. He didn't know what was the next step. And so I began talking to Fred, and I talked about all the big church words, you know. Now, we all know we're sinners, and Fred is sitting there looking at me through glassy eyes. And I was speaking on, and I suddenly stopped. I said, "Do you know what the word sin means?" And Fred said, "Nope, never heard it." I said, "Well, it's when we break the commandments." "What are those?" "Oh, maybe we need to translate all of this into what you experienced, Fred, in your life." And we did. And I met with Fred over a long period of time there in his apartment. And we talked about Jesus. And Fred came to faith in Christ. I remember the day Fred was baptized. It was after the closing service at Vacation Bible School, where we had 300 kids, Fred's kids among them. And after Fred was baptized, he and I sat down in the front pew and we cried together. Fred got elected to a board in our congregation, the Board of Evangelism, because Fred's life had been touched by the love of God in Christ Jesus. And there were times Fred became so profoundly aware of the love of God in Christ Jesus that he became his pastor's pastor. I remember the day I had Fred's funeral, when the diabetes finally broke his heart and he went to the nearer side of the Savior. One of the songs that Fred insisted be sung at his funeral was a song that said, "Thank you, Pastor, for telling me about Jesus." The greatest thing you will ever do is to be a human being touched by Christ at your deepest emptiness and tell another person. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." In the name of Christ Jesus, who transforms us. Amen.